Hi everyone, and welcome to part two of our holiday fill in the gaps. We're too busy being full of booze and turkey to actually record special.
That's I'm a good Andrew, special.
And apparently I'm introducing us in. And as yeah, always,
well volunteered then, Andrew.
You're welcome, Mick, my co-host, along with Rob.
Hello.
Boom, seamless introduction. So if you were listening to the last one of these we did, we talked about comic books that we'd gotten into over the past year. So for this second part, I figure, why not talk about the things what aren't comic books, but are still comic book related enough so that we can keep our brand identity.
Hmm. Okay.
Who do you want to go first?
Eeny, meeny, miny, Mick.
Well, as you know, guys, I do like to keep abreast of everything that's happening on the small and large screen that's comic book related.
God help you for doing so.
And it got off to a poor start this year with Inhumans.
But I think you mean an excellent start.
Who are you and what have you done with Andrew?
I want to know, did Karnak ever finally get his weed business off the ground?
No.
Oh, Inhumans.
But the year ended better with a small screen outing for some DC heroes.
Ooh, do tell.
I've been a-watching Titan, which is not a way of saying mean people in Yorkshire.
Okay.
Oh, I get it, because it's like, Lend a Survivor. No, you're Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, DC's Titans. It's obviously based on the Titan comic book series. We've got a post-Batman Robin, who's a bit angsty because he finds that when he starts beating up villains, he can't stop. And he's desperately trying to leave Robin behind. He's trying to rescue Rachel, who is on the run from some people working for her dad. And she is, of course, Raven. Along the way, they meet Corey Anders, who has no memory of who she is, but has these really awesome alien fire powers.
Like some kind of fire from a star.
It could well be, yes. And we meet Gar, who has the ability to change into a green tiger so that he can nick video games.
This is, you know, Beastball falls under my complaint for Manimal, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Surely you only need to turn into like three different animals. If you can be like a tiger, a falcon, and I don't know, like a shark.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything else is redundant, isn't it?
Well, you got most of it covered with just those three animals, haven't you?
Yeah. Well,
an orangutan so that you can be the king of the swingers.
No, he chooses gorilla, though, allegedly.
Well, so far, he's chosen tiger.
He's chosen tiger. Are they going to actually follow, like, the comics and the cartoon and have him transform into, like, a T-Rex or something?
I don't know, Rob, because unlike some superheroes, I don't have fortune-telling powers. But I can tell you that Titans is a lot of fun. It's clearly aimed at a more sort of late teen to adult audience, because we do get to see Dick and Corey banging boots together, and there's a lot of sweariness.
Mm-hmm.
So Marvel Rising, it is not. But it's a lot of fun. Plenty of action, plenty of detailed action. The effects are pretty damn good. There's one episode that is the backdoor pilot for the Doom Patrol series that's coming soon to the DC streaming service,
which I'm pretty excited for.
Well, there you go. Well, if you want to be a Doom Patrol completist, Andrew, I suggest you start watching DC's Titans Toot Sweet, because
I will, Mick, as soon as it becomes available in a way that is not the way you're watching it.
What do you mean by that? I mean, obviously, I go over to America every week, subscribe to the DC streaming service, and watch it that way. How else did you think I was watching it?
I mean, Mick.
Why do you think I'm always so tired on a Saturday when we meet up?
It's the constant jet lag, of course.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's good. I think they bought it.
Cool. The feds aren't listening anyway. It's Christmas.
That's true. Rob, what have you been watching for this Christmas miracle we're doing?
Well, if I had to choose anything that... I'm trying to avoid the obvious ones, but it's difficult because the obvious ones are so big. So I think I'm going to have to go with the one that surprised me by how much I enjoyed it, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
That was a good, good fun film.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I found I loved Ant-Man as a heist movie. I thought it worked so well, and I found it really difficult to believe that they would actually be able to improve on the first movie simply by adding Evangeline Lilly as Wasp. You know, as the Wasp, simply by adding her as the Wasp, and somehow it's a better movie. But they made it work, you know?
I'll be honest, I was a bit disappointed because it was just another heist movie again.
Well, it had a bit more bite to it this time, and
it did escalate, I'll grant you that.
And the thing is, they played around with it a lot more. It was a lot more fun. It was a lot more enjoyable as a movie. Because
I did enjoy how the stakes were much bigger and then much smaller. And then much bigger again, but then smaller.
And a lot of the sight gags just worked so well as well. I mean, when he's trying to stop the truck, when he's in, you know, in his giant man form, and the whole bit with the school.
Oh, the school scene had in absolute stitches.
Exactly.
So I think the icing on the cake is just like the really sort of low quality version of the theme tune that plays through that entire scene.
Oh, yes. And what sealed the deal was Michael Douglas and his comedy timing, because when he gets into the car, apparently, when they do that bit where Paul Rudd gets into the car and he's like pint size, Michael Douglas just looks at him and says, "How was school today, champ?" Apparently, that was totally ad libbed.
Oh, much respect, Michael Douglas.
He's actually doing a comedy comedy TV series now.
Oh yeah, I saw that on Netflix, but also it's written by Chuck Law.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not one of those in front of a studio audience things. Apparently, it looks like the Ant-Man films have kind of awakened his comedy bug.
That comedy bug, I say.
I'm not entirely sure that that's necessarily a bug that needed awakening.
I just made like one of the greatest puns I've made in my life, and he destroyed it, Andrew.
Calling it a great, but well, no, I guess we're talking Rob Grace.
Exactly.
Yeah, these things are very relative.
I mean, no, I will give it to Rob. You made a pun that was understandable. Well done.
That didn't have us running to Wikipedia for a 3-hour troll through references.
Yes. But yeah, that was one of my high points of this year.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'll agree. I enjoyed that film a lot. Yeah. And now I think I'll take your bug pun and spin off from that. Because what I really enjoyed this year was the Spider-Man game.
See, I knew you were going to say that. That's why I didn't go with the Spider-Man game.
I have no comment.
It's really good, Nick.
It's so good.
I have no comment.
Right. I never... the best... you remember we were talking about this before, Andrew? About, web-swinging through the city, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I did. Because you're a big fan of the Spider-Man 2 on the PS2, was it?
And Ultimate Spider-Man as well.
Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man 2, they really had good mechanics when it came to the web swinging. And I found it difficult to believe that that could be improved upon. But they did it.
Oh, they did it so good. Because it's just the sheer delight of, like, jumping off the edge of a building and then zipping onto another one, like, catapulting off and doing a somersault. And you swing along on a row of trees and then you jump and you do a backflip and then you, like, sling off two other buildings and then you rocket across the sky.
Do you know I hate PlayStation exclusives.
Yeah. Do you know what it's like? You know, you've played Arkham City, haven't you?
I have indeed.
Right. You know you have those challenges in Arkham City to keep Batman gliding for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, you can basically... What if that was actually fun?
Yeah, it's basically what if that was actually fun.
Rather than the annoying restart from the beginning every single time because you just missed one bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what if you never got tired of doing that?
I'm not scared.
Yeah. And what if you never got tired of doing that?
Yeah, just what if we lived in a crazy world where there's an open world game in which traversing the open world was actually an enjoyable experience?
Yeah, you didn't care about the fetch quests. You didn't mind doing them because it gave you more excuses to just swing through the city.
That is exactly how I felt. And I just love it. It's not just a great Spider-Man game. It's also a great Spider-Man story.
Yeah.
Like, they combine all these different elements because you've got things like obviously loads of classic Spider-Man stories, like, you know, you've got the likes of Electro and the Rhino in there, But then they also bring in new stuff like Mr. Negative. And like, I suppose that they even worked in a level of like actual social commentary as well. Because they have a whole bunch of stuff about, you know, helping the homeless and what being responsible actually means. And it's cool that it's not just like, oh no, Dr. Octopus, he's put the bad things on the city. Stop him, Spider-Man.
This is true.
Which is about the plot of every single other Spider-Man game.
I'm just thinking through because I've played a lot of Spider-Man games. And you're basically right, it is the plot of every other Spider-Man game.
I haven't played any Spider-Man games because I've got an Xbox.
They've been exponed. Also, what's really cool about Spider-Man?
What?
It's a game with a bunch of unlockable costumes. And you unlock them by playing the game and completing game objectives.
This is true.
You mean you don't have to put in your credit card details?
No. There's not a single microtransaction.
Wow.
Like, I think the only thing I've spent more money on is the DLC, which is like them saying, hello, would you like to give us a small amount of money for this whole new elaborately crafted experience?
Hold on. So the only thing you've spent money on is the DLC. Did you steal your copy of the game?
No, I feel like if you steal a Spider-Man game, you're missing the point of being Peter Parker.
But you're really embracing that sort of Dr. Octopus vibe.
Well,
of course, with so many arms, he gives great hugs.
Thing is, you could always excuse it by stealing it and then saying, I am the superior Spider-Man.
Or maybe you steal the Spider-Man game, but then the store manager comes round to your house that night to exact his vengeance, but you were out busy playing the Spider-Man game, and so your uncle answers the door, and he gets killed instead. And that's when you realise that with great game ownership comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a week later they find you dead in a gutter because turns out throwing used copies of Ratchet and Clank isn't a great way to stop muggers. That was a sad end to the story.
It was, wasn't it?
That's why nobody said anything.
This is why I don't play PlayStation. It has a dark ending. It has to be said, though, I did get to spend about half an hour playing Spider-Man on a PlayStation, and it is the first time in the entire existence of the PlayStation that I've played a game that made me wish I'd spent some money on one. And I might do in the future.
You should do it, Mick. Be the Spider-Man.
It's so much effort, because I'm already the old man Deadpool. So, you know, between that vigilanteism and then, you know, web swing.
Deadpool's not a vigilante.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
He's a merc with the mouth. He's a mercenary.
Speaking of Deadpool and his less than kosher methods.
Deadpool 2.
The thing I love about this, but just before I say it, I love all the small touches in Spider-Man. Like, they've even thought of things that, like, if you punch someone off the edge of a building, Spider-Man just, like, shoots out a web and sticks him to the side.
Yes. I love that bit. I love the fact that you don't need to do anything. There's no extra controls to do that. It just does it automatically.
Yeah, and it's not like in the Batman games where you just punch them off the building and the game just goes, eh, whatever, they're probably fine. It's like they've actually put the attention to detail in.
Well, actually, it goes one step further in the Batman games, doesn't it? Because if you go into detective mode, it detects that they're unconscious.
Yes.
Despite the fact that they've just fallen off Wayne Tech Tower.
Which, as I've stated before, that is definitely just Alfred going, yeah, no, Master Wayne, it's fine. They're just asleep. Here, Master Wayne, I've made you a new gadget. It's a gun that shoots sleepy time bullets. Oh no. Another one of them must have been carrying ketchup in their pockets. Look how much it's spilled all over the place, Master Wayne.
By the way, there's been an increase in sales of Henchman Pizza in Gotham City.
Hey, speaking of things that are horrible but also fantastic, Deadpool 2 is pretty great, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Although I am slightly biased.
Well,
that's true. It was your biography.
Yeah. It was like my version of the Wonder Years, but with less narration.
I'm beginning to see the resemblance between you and Fred Savage, though, Mick.
Oh, my God, yes, because they're in Once Upon a Deadpool as well.
Exactly.
I love what a weird world we live in where Ryan Reynolds will re-release his film, but as a like PG cut in which he tells the entire story to Fred Savage.
In the vein of The Princess Bride.
Yes.
Oh, Yeah, Deadpool 2. It was a bizarre film with some brilliant, brilliant ideas. I mean, that cameo by Brad Pitt was amazing.
Yes. You do realize there are some people who won't have seen it yet.
I mean, I think we're past the spoilers.
Yeah, and also I said that cameo by Brad Pitt was amazing. I didn't say what it was.
That's true.
And to be fair to him, that is only the second most amazing cameo in the entire film.
This is true.
I guess maybe third if you also include the cameo by real world actor Ryan Reynolds.
Well,
true.
It's fun the fact that he's actually cameoing in his own movie.
I think you'll find that was just Reynolds just trying to save some money.
God, it's just weird. Because I don't think that any other kind of film that would like go all in as a big blockbuster crowd pleaser.
Hmm.
And then also have this like really weird meta sense of humour.
I mean, if you look at the other superhero films from this year, aside from Ant-Man and the Wasp, well, we got Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Venom.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what makes Deadpool work so well, is just how very formulaic the other superhero movies are. And I don't think that... I like pretty much all the Marvel stuff that comes out.
Yeah.
But it is nice to see something that's not afraid to say, no, let's just throw out the rule book.
Well, it's nice to watch a film that acknowledges just how ridiculous comics actually are.
Because they're so dumb.
And yet we still read them.
Yeah, a lot.
Because they're so dumb.
And yet we still read them.
Because comics.
Hell yeah, comics. They are dumb on the same level of, you killed Black Tom, you racist.
It's true. The crazy thing is, I could actually see that line in a Deadpool comic at some point.
I mean, it was already in a Deadpool film.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the scene where very early Deadpool, there's a scene where he's actually in a pub and he's talking to Taskmaster, and then he's basically on about this ball of peanuts, and he picks up two nuts and he's trying to fit them together, and he starts talking about nut porn and what it might be like. This was when he was going more and more crazy. So
Deadpool's weird, isn't he?
Yeah.
Also, was this Gail Simone's Deadpool? Because
yes,
that sounds like a very Gail Simone moment.
That was Gail Simone's Deadpool.
Of course it was. Oh, Gail, you rascal.
She was great writing Deadpool, though.
I mean, that's probably because she's great writing most things.
Yeah, this is true.
Okay. Anyone got anything else?
Well, I mentioned Avengers Infinity War, so it's kind of the elephant in the room.
Yeah, I don't know. Infinity War is weird for me because I really enjoyed it. But I also kind of struggled to say anything good about it because it's like, well, I'm just waiting for the film to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, until we get Avengers 4.
Yeah, a.k.a. Avengers Infinity War, the second half. You underestimated us, Russos. We would sit there for 6 hours watching Avengers.
Yeah, we would have sat there for the whole thing, you know?
We might have needed a toilet break.
No, bladders would have burst. People going in should have been given incontinence pants.
Or maybe just put, like, an intermission in there.
I'll just give them all, like, you know those armchair toilets that they can have? It's like
no,
a toilet and an armchair all in one.
What happens is Infinity War ends, then smash cut to just Groot twirling one of his arms and the music going, da 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 da, and everyone gets 15 minutes before Avengers 4 starts.
That works.
Yeah.
Daredevil Series 3 was really good as well, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
You mean the last series of Daredevil?
No. No, I don't.
Yes,
Daredevil,
you do.
He keeps on fighting. You knock him down and he gets back up again. That's real sad.
It is. And I just wonder if it's setting a pattern now. Is it just like whatever the next Netflix Marvel series is just the last one of it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's very obvious by now that Marvel are just pulling the plug on the Netflix stuff so that they can bring out, well, do their own things on their streaming service.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, I don't think it's been officially announced that there's not going to be season 3 of Jessica Jones, but I would assume that's likely.
Well, it's finished production.
Oh, okay. So I guess that might be the last one then.
Yeah, I think it went into production sort of summer of this year.
Okay, yeah. I think we're probably going to get Punisher season 2 and then Jessica Jones season 3, and that's it. That's the end.
Mm.
Also, it's going to be weird because do you think they'll just like reboot them then in the MCU?
I don't know. I mean,
I think it'd be a waste. I think it'd be a waste to do like a complete reboot,
because they don't really need to reboot though, because they've always been MCU adjacent, haven't they?
Yeah,
they've mentioned events in the MCU
in the first season of Daredevil when they're talking about when they're referring to the first Avengers film. They call it the incident or that thing that happened in New York.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and there are scattered references to it throughout, and I think they always were aware that they, because the turnaround on TV is so much faster, they were never going to be able to match it word for word, and that's the same problem that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has had. It's only been able to tangentially link in. But yeah, so to tie it into the MCU, you probably wouldn't need to reboot. It's just about, you know, well, I guess they're all made by ABC Studios, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So surely
so they don't have to edit it.
Well, it's more in the sense that, because surely if they do a new Daredevil thing now, it's probably going to be like a whole new cast and new stories. But then that would mean just saying that the Netflix series never happened. Or do they kind of sort of Incredible Hulk it, where it's, yeah, this happened and we'll maybe occasionally vaguely refer to it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what the future holds.
Indeed.
In the year 2019.
Which is just around the corner.
It is. So we are going to walk off into the sunset now and say Happy New Year to everyone.
Yes.
Yes. Happy New Year. May 2019 hold many comics for you.
Let's all get drunk.
Yay!
Drink, Thor. I'm going to have to be the designated driver again, aren't I?
Yep.
Yep.
Damn it.
And you're going to have to hold Andrew's hair back as he's sick in the gutter. Just like last New Year.
That's not fair at all, mate. I have you know I don't have much hair to hold back.
The advantage to that, though, Mick, is I can basically take Andrew back to his place, put him in his bed, tuck him in, and then steal his comics.
You so can.
What happens is, as your hand is slowly kind of reaching towards the comics, just an iron-clad grip grasps out. And no, I will not be awake. This is just like an automatic reflex.
Okay, that's it from 4Panel for 2018. You can find all of our episodes and all the other stuff we do on the Geek Show Podcast Network on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk, and you'll find our Patreon, our shop, and all the other usual palaver over there as well. Until next year, then, have a happy new year. I have been Rob.
I've been Andrew.
And I've been Mick.
We'll see you all in the new year.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye now.